Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are now just days away from the end of our fiscal year. We need many of you to weigh in with the best possible financial gift that you can send. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also do so by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Roger, Modesto, California. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Praise God for your ministry, and I'm just blessed every time that I have a chance to hear you. And I do encourage everyone to financially support the ministry because it is a blessing worldwide. And I'm actually signing up to give a monthly commitment to the
wonderful
ministry.
Wonderful.
So I'm encouraging everyone else to do that as well. But my question actually is, a friend brought it up, and I was hoping you could help me answer it. In the Synoptic Gospels, especially Matthew and Mark, it seems that all three kind of have a different version of the last words of Christ. And I was hoping you might be able to give me an answer that I might be able to relay to him.
Well, yeah, there are a number of different ways that you can go about answering a question like that. But I think you want to start with this, and that is that you can conclude that you don't have a contradiction here. And I'll tell you why. The gospel accounts are complementary. In other words, credible scholarship always considers a core set of facts that don't look to collusion, but rather to complementary elements. In other words, if all of the writers said exactly the same thing in exactly the same way, we would immediately cry collusion. You would do that if you were watching a court scene unfold. So what you have here is unique perspectives that are provided by the gospel writers. And again, those unique perspectives show that they're complementary and that no collusion is involved. But there's something else that I would say about this, and that is the disciples were moved by the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they codified the essential wisdom of Jesus Christ as opposed to the exact words of Jesus Christ. So they left us a memorable oral tradition rather than the words of the master on tape. So we didn't get Memorex. We have each writer giving a unique perspective. You can imagine Jesus said a lot from the cross. In dying on the cross, you die a slow, agonizing death over a protracted period of time. And so he said much, I'm certain, prior to dying that is not even recorded in any of the gospel accounts.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. That really helped out.
You get it, and I've written about this in various places. The principal place I've dealt with this is under a chapter called Oral Culture in my book, Has God Spoken?
All right, wonderful. Okay, well, thank you so much, Hank. God bless you for your ministry, sir.
Thank you. Back to the phone lines. Talk next to Pam in Due West, South Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to also tell you that you've been a great blessing to me. There's a church, and I know you're very familiar with this church, and I'm not going to say the name on air, And I love this church, and I love the pastor. But I went to their website, and I saw on there, it kind of shocked me. I just didn't know how to take it. They're doing a, what they call a 90-day tithing challenge. And they're challenging people to give 10% for 90 days, and they put the Malachi verse 3 up, you know. And then their thing is, it says if you tithe for 3 months and God doesn't hold true to his promises, that they will refund 100%, no questions asked. Well, that just kind of threw me back. I mean, it almost sounded like it was on the verge of prosperity preaching. I mean, was I wrong? Did I see that wrong? Or why did it bother me so much?
Well, yeah, it'd definitely be wrong. There's no promise whatsoever that when you give, God is going to give back to you in the sense of the prosperity gospel teaching where you're going to get 30-fold or 50-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold or more given back to you. There's no real indication in the Bible, only a pretext, a post on the Bible, that you're going to get back from God when you give to God in terms of the money being doubled or tripled or quadrupled. Certainly, God is one who blesses faithfulness, but that blessing is not necessarily given to you by quadrupling your money or giving you 3 times as much back or 2 times as much back. You give because you've been given, and you give because you want to extend his kingdom. But in giving, the motive is never to get back. And so for someone to set it up as though it were a scheme by which you can give to get, I think is leading people in the wrong direction. I can't judge anybody's motives, and I don't sense that you're doing that, but certainly that kind of idea is distinctly mistaken. I've actually cashed that out in actual real terms in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, where I take the verses that are used by the prosperity teachers to suggest that if you give, you're going to get many times back. I've shown that those verses aren't actually teaching that. So if you want a complete explication of that, I have that in Christianity in Crisis.
Well, I thank you. But the thing is, it's just this church. They're not like that. I don't understand why they're doing this.
Well, it may be a very good motive. I mean, the motive may be learn to lean upon the arm of God as opposed to leaning upon the arm of flesh. So again, I don't think we want to judge the motive of the particular teacher, because you're suggesting that whoever this teacher is credible in general. And so he may, in a very systematic way, want to encourage people to trust in God. But I think they're going to be disappointed, because there's no way in which God promises to quadruple your money when you give money. To take Jesus Christ literally in passages like Mark 10:30 is actually to reduce the passage to a logical absurdity. Because it's one thing for Christ to promise a 100-to-1 return when it came to houses. It'd be quite another in the same context to promise a 100-to-1 return on wives and children, which, by the way, you'll find in the context of Mark chapter 10. You know, and as I've quipped many times, I don't know about you, but for me, that would be too much of a good thing, especially with 12 children.
Yes. Okay, well, you've helped out. And like I said, I have emailed them, and I'm waiting on a response, and maybe they can explain it to me better, where it's not what I think it is. I hope not, anyway. But I thank you for your answer, and God bless you.
God bless you as well. And of course, the scriptures do say, honor the Lord with your wealth, and from the first fruit of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Certainly, we can know that God rewards a cheerful giver, but he does not reward a give-to-get scheme. There is no telling, however, what can be accomplished in our generation if we would but catch the joy of contagious giving. Not only would we be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, but we would be enabled to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick. And like our forefathers who founded great centers of Christian education and hospitals and relief organizations, we might as yet leave an indelible mark on our generation. So we should give. We should give because we have been given. We should give because we want to touch the world. We should give because we're living with eternity in mind. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, a quick reminder of how important it is for you to partner with us. As those that join the support team support the Christian Research Institute and all the work we're doing around the world, it's critical. We need your help. Please join us. Be as generous as you can. Again, the way that you can give in a safe, secure fashion is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers in just a moment.
In our post-truth age of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with answers has never been greater. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide those answers, and this provision is made possible only by people like you. People unafraid to stand up for truth while it's under assault. People like you whose contributions to our many outreaches are making a difference for time and eternity. This is the last week to give your gift to help close our financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Cassandra listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Cassandra.
Hey, Hank. I thank God for giving me wisdom and knowledge to be able to answer these questions that people present. I rely on you as a biblical teacher, and I think you're very reliable. Anyways, I heard this morning on the radio, a man was preaching, and he said he doesn't believe in the rapture and in the 7 years after. That was a theology found back by some saint 100 years back or however many years back, and that it took like fire and it spread everywhere. I just want to know your viewpoints and what's biblically correct on the whole rapture, and will people just be like, well, where'd everybody go? Or how is that going to happen?
Yeah, I think in general what this person was saying is correct. It is a 19th century idea. Prior to the 19th century, there's no uniform systematic theology that teaches a pre-tribulational rapture. Now, the fact that it's new doesn't mean it's not true. The fact that it's new means that we should examine it carefully and see if its basis is driven from the Bible or if it's something that's imposed on the biblical text. And I have been studying this for some time. In fact, I wrote a book that deals with this issue called The Apocalypse Code, and I find nowhere in the Bible that you have a secret coming of Jesus Christ followed by a 7-year tribulation, followed by a second coming of Jesus Christ, followed by people being saved after the second coming of Jesus Christ. So I think it's something that's imposed on the biblical text as opposed to being derived from the biblical text, and certainly open to having my mind changed, but I have talked to many different people who hold this view for a long period of time and asked them to show me how they can substantiate this view on the basis of Scripture, and I haven't had a credible answer yet. Generally, the answer is, well, God has two people, and because God has two people, he has to have two different plans for those two people, and therefore there has to be two phases of the secret coming and then a second coming where Jesus returns with those who have been raptured. I think we're far better to go with the words of Jesus Christ. He said, do not be amazed that this is time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Which is to say, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, everyone will be resurrected. Again, some to eternal life and some to eternal conscious torment, separation from the goodness and grace of God for all eternity. So I think that's what you have is the biblical teaching, and anything else is an imposition on the biblical text. God does not have two different people, for example, and that's where you have the basis for this teaching to begin with. If you don't have two separate people, you don't have to have two separate plans, and you don't have to have two distinct phases of the second coming. God has only ever had one people, one chosen people, one true Israel, beautifully connected by a cross and illustrated by the Apostle Paul by a cultivated olive tree.
Okay, well, I guess I'll do some digging around myself. It sounds like it goes deeper than now I just realized, you know. So thank you so very much for your answer. I just hope that God blesses your ministry evermore.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your encouragement. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Olivia in Marion, Arkansas. Hi, Olivia.
Hello, Hank. I actually had two questions for you. One was in response to the young lady that was on, and you all were talking about the tribulation. Well, in Revelation 20, it says that the rest, the dead, live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So that to me sounds like there will be a second resurrection, because if Satan is bound for 1,000 years and then he has to come back and be loose for 1,000 years, Jesus would then have to come back then and gather up his people. It also says that Jesus will reign and his kingdom will be on earth for 7 years. So I'm not really understanding where you all are getting there will be no tribulation, no 7-year period, because it's
where do you get the 7-year where do you get the 7-year tribulation from?
This is in Revelations. The first one I read was Revelations 5.
But where do you get the 7 years?
It's in Revelations. I can't give you the exact scripture offhand. I'm looking it up now, but I don't have it. But I've listened to a preaching about the tribulation, and Revelations was given in great detail, and they pointed out. So I'm just trying to understand where exactly you're going or what exactly you're saying, because I know someone else the other day had made a comment about the 7 years, and I know you told them that that wasn't scriptural as well.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the book of Revelation does not teach a 7-year tribulation period. There certainly is a revelation of a tribulation that would take place in a particular epoch of time that did take place in that particular epoch of time, both in the Old Testament context and in the New Testament context. But the book of Revelation nowhere speaks to a future 7-year tribulation period. In fact, recognize that the book of Revelation is written to 7 churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult that are going to face the full fury of a beast and a woman that rides the beast. And in the midst of that tribulation, John is communicating to the churches a vision by which they are called to be faithful and fruitful. They will suffer for a short time. Their vindication will be an eternal vindication. So I think, first and foremost, it's important to recognize that the book of Revelation wasn't written to us in the 21st century. It certainly applies to us in the 21st century. So you can say it was written to 7 churches in the province of Asia, but it was written for us. That would be a completely acceptable statement. But to say otherwise, to suggest that this book was written to you, is as foolhardy as suggesting that the book of Romans was written to you. It was written to Roman believers. Corinthians was written to Corinthian believers. Ephesus is a church that was written to by Paul in a letter, which we call the book of Ephesians. So it's important for us to make that distinction and to recognize that all of the Bible is useful and fruitful for us, but it wasn't written to us, it was written for us. So Revelation is not dealing with a tribulation in the 21st century.
I understand that, but then it sounds like you're picking and choosing out of the Bible what you choose to go with. To say that it wasn't written to us, it was written for us, I understand that. But to then say that Revelations and Ephesians and Corinthians was written to other people, it's as if you're picking and choosing what you choose to go along with.
Why? Why is that suggestion being made in any sense whatsoever by that statement?
Because that's what you just said.
No, I'm not suggesting to pick and choose anything.
Well, then,
I'm saying every single part of the Bible, all of it, in totality, is useful for training and instructing and correcting the believer. Every single part of it is significant. And I've encouraged people many times to take the time to memorize the book of Revelation, because it's only 404 verses and 278 are direct allusions to Old Testament passages. So you already have familiarity with them, so that you correctly communicate this book as not Revelations, but the book of Revelation. And it is a revelation given by Jesus Christ. These are the words of Jesus Christ. So it's important to grasp every word, to internalize every word, to grind out every word in your mind. So I'm not picking and choosing anything. I am saying take the whole counsel of God, but don't try to take what Jesus Christ said, for example, to the church at Philadelphia, and then try to apply that to a 21st century circumstance where you're saying that this was a word written to the 21st century about a pre-tribulational rapture that the 21st century church was going to experience. Because now you're saying something that the text isn't saying. Now you're picking and choosing. When the text says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. To take that now and apply it to the 21st century would be a horror. The church at Philadelphia was getting words directly to them from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can learn a lot from those words. But the text says nothing about the second coming or the rapture. It is impossible to suppose that Jesus is promising to protect the church in Philadelphia from something that's going to occur 2,000 years later. That's the bottom line. Appreciate your call. Anyone listening into the discussion, want more detail, get my book, The Apocalypse Code. It lays it out line by line, precept upon precept. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll see you all back here tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.